It's funny. I think the dating apps will be much more satisfying doing them the way you're doing them, like 1 hour a week. It's like anything else, right? It's not meant to be binged. Like if you have McDonald's every day, all three meals for a week, you're going to feel disgusting. Kind of like the same with the dating apps. If you're on it too much, it's not how it's meant to be consumed. It's how it's meant to be consumed is like sort of additive and in moderation, I think, to make people feel really good about them.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today, Jordana Abraham and Jared Freed of the popular You Up podcast join me to discuss all things dating and relationships. This hilarious duo is known for reading between the lines and giving their listeners the answers they need, but may not always want to hear. We're breaking down the top things you should know before meeting up with a date in person, how picky you should be when dating, how to tell if your hookup wants to move things in a less platonic direction, and so much more on today's episode. This was such a fun one. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. We so appreciate when you rate the show. We love it. My new articles, How to Handle Performance Anxiety and 5 Ways to Pleasure a Vulva, are up on sexwithemily.com. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. You're going to love today's guests, Jordana Abraham and Jared Freed. This felt like a party. The host of the popular modern dating podcast, You Up, join me today in answering all your dating questions straight up. And they're so entertaining. You can tell they get along. They're good friends. Jordana is a badass. She's the founder of Betches Media. She's created this incredible empire. She's also the host of the Oversharing podcast. And Jared is hilarious. He has a lot of strong, specific opinions. And his Netflix special, 37 and Single, is out now, and he's currently on a stand-up tour. They've been giving people straight-up advice for years. What is that person actually saying? What do they mean? And they offer really sound advice. So today, they're going to help you navigate the dating apps better, overcome dating app fatigue, which a lot of you talk about, and give hacks to enjoy dating so it doesn't feel like a second job. All right, let's get into it. Welcome, Jordana and Jared. So good to see both of you. Really, I love being on your podcast, You Up. You guys talk all about modern dating, and you're both hilarious. Jared, congrats on your stand-up special on Netflix right now, 37 and Single. That's exciting. Jordana's killing it with Betches. Very impressive. Question for you guys. I thought it'd be fun to kick off the episode with your top dating horror stories because it's Halloween. If you had to think like that was the worst date ever, what comes up for you?
I kind of tend to believe that if you have horror stories, bad like dates. You have to remember you're a central character in the story. But one time I went on a date with a girl, and then like a year later, I was just at a bar and I was by myself just hanging out. And all of a sudden I like look up and this woman is over me and she's like, "Do you remember me?" You know, you're looking up and you just want to be like, "Yeah." Like, and I said, I go, "Yeah, I remember you." And she's like, "No, you don't." And it's like, we went on one date and I go, "Your hair was longer then." And she's like, "No, it was shorter." And it's like, "Oh, you just wanted to like get me." This was like a gotcha. Like, I felt like it was a police sting operation to show me that I'm a piece of shit.
I thought you were going to tell the story of when you fell out.
Oh, that was I was on a date. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of a horrific moment in my life.
I have many more horror stories for you.
We were on one of those outdoor patios that they built during the pandemic to like have outdoor seating. And it was a little bit risen off of like the street. And I remember I was like, Mr. Cool Guy leaning back. And then the back two legs of the chair went off the ledge. And then I flipped back, but it was like, it wasn't like I just fell right away. It was like a whoa, whoa, whoa. And I thought I was going to catch myself. And then like 10 minutes later, as I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa-ing, I fall back into the sandwich sign that like had the specials. It cracks in half. And then I fall into the heat lamp. A huge heat lamp falls over me. It was as if like the whole restaurant imploded around me. And the other person was laughing so hard. And I was like, I don't think there's a more unfuckable look than whoa, 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 my seat's falling. Maybe I'll catch it. I don't catch it. I'm not athletic enough to catch it. I've now broken a sign.
Nothing more vulnerable than that and like an orgasm face.
That is
well, I was basically
things,
doing my
right?
orgasm face while exactly. falling. Like, it's like she's seen it all at that point. Yeah.
They're very similar. Our orgasm faces are similar to like faces we make when we're in pain, which is kind of funny. Do you ever notice that when you're like, ouch, you're like, that could also be my orgasm face. Listen, I have a question for you guys, because you guys hear all the stuff about dating. You give advice. You hear from your listeners on your podcast. We don't want anyone to have dating horror stories. I mean, they're fun, right? When somebody asks you at a party or on a podcast. But what are some things that we could find out or that we should find out before meeting up with someone?
I think a lot of horrific dating stories start with, sure, I'll go. I think when you're not excited about the date, and what happens is the dating apps have given us more, like more matches, more opportunity, which also means more failure. So like, we're really not being nice to ourselves. Like you get to like a 10th match on the app and the conversation doesn't go that great, but you're like, I never go on dates from this app. It's like, well, you know, one date a month that you're excited about, 17 dates a month that you're like, sure, I'll go. Yeah, you're going to have more horrific dating experiences. I think the more excited you are, you have to trust your instinct, trust your gut. And I think not enough of us do that.
I agree. I don't think it's about like a specific question. I think it's about a vibe. And I think that that's above. Mm-hmm. And that's why you know within 5 minutes, I think, of going on a date with someone if you're interested in like seeing them. And I think that's pretty much how long it takes. But on when you're speaking, like, I think that there's a sense kind of like Jared was saying of like, I don't know if it's there, but like, I'll go. They had that one picture where they looked kind of attractive, or they're not saying anything bad. But I think the idea is to go for like, what makes you feel like excited? What makes you feel like the person kind of gets you? And you can't fully get that from speaking on an app. But I think just making that the bar for going on a date, you kind of can avoid a lot of wasted time.
What gets highlighted, as you said, is like the horrific dates. We always talk about that. Those are the entertaining stories. But most app conversations are just boring and kind of fine. And it's like, that's not enough to get you to leave the house. That shouldn't be enough. The only place for the conversation to go on a dating app is to a date. You know, for you to go through that door, like, why don't you be excited? And some people are like, well, I'm never excited. Well, you're spending a lot of time on people that aren't exciting. And it's okay to just be like, yeah, this was nice. Nice to meet you. I'm going to go on my way. Or just say nothing at all. Goes.
Do you think there's a certain amount of like dating apathy now? Like there's somewhere in the middle, right? Between like, I don't want to go, so I'm going to stay home, or like, sure, I'll just go. So do you think that for some people, the apps just aren't right? They should just go out and meet people in person if the dates are just kind of killing them. What do you guys think?
It's kind of like anything else. The attitude that you bring to something really will determine the outcome. So if you're going in like, this doesn't work, I never meet anyone well, but I'm going to go because like, I feel like I should go because I want to meet someone in theory, but you're kind of going into it with a negative feeling, I think that's how the date is going to go. So I think going on dates that you're excited about, if you're not excited to go on dates, don't go. If let's say it could be with anyone, or if you're not going into conversations feeling positive and feeling like you're excited to meet people, that's the energy you're going to give off. So I would say, take a break if you don't feel like you can bring that attitude to the apps, because there's no point. It's like kind of a waste of your time and theirs if you're going to go in with I guess I'll go.
If you're not bringing the energy, you're not feeling it, then it's okay to take time off from dating too. I think that's a really regenerative time to be like, I'm not really into it now. I'm going to take time to work on other areas of my life.
I think it helps to make the dating apps more exciting. Now we just spend the day on them. Like now we just like, it's part of our like wheel of like Facebook, Instagram, mm-hmm. email. Oh, go in the app, see if anyone answered, swipe, 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 back to the other ones. You know, like what I've done and that's been really helpful is like you delete it and then you only download it for an hour at like 6 o'clock. And you say, I'm going to go out on a date tonight. I'm not doing this for tomorrow or the weekend. So 6 o'clock, I'm going back on here and you create a story. I'm out with friends tonight. I'm doing drinks right now. Creating these like arenas for ourselves kind of gets us out of this like funk of like this never ending. How was your weekend? What's going on? Match on a Sunday, go out on a Thursday. It's all monotonous and not, you know, sexy. Create rules for yourself where you're like, okay, 6 to 7 is app time. And if I go on a date, it's tonight. I really do believe, you know, in 20 minutes of conversation over the app, whether this is going to be fun or not. So within 20 minutes, if you could say to someone, well, I'm out with friends in this part of town, want to meet for a quick drink at 9? Now we've had like an adventure. Now we've kind of gotten out of it, what we're looking from it. Mm-hmm. And I think the apps are a part of the pie and it's not the whole thing. So this all or nothing thing is stupid. Why not make it this fun 1 hour distraction on Wednesdays that set you up for a date Thursday, even like, you know, that night might be too quick for you. Here's your story. I'm out with friends. We're doing dinner. I'll be in this area. Let's grab a quick drink afterward.
It's funny how the idea of like the scheduled date of like, you know, kind of reminds me of like how men might think of scheduled sex to a woman, right? You're like, oh, right. I'm just going to like this, or almost rather the spontaneous date is almost, I think, what men would equate to the scheduled sex. Like it seems to like defy the rules of like how it should be. Right. I like it because it's kind of like both are about like prioritizing something, right?
That's it. It's all about, we got to schedule sex to make it happen because it doesn't happen. But then I like what you're saying about dating too. It's like if you put your own boundaries and your own parameters around it, because yeah, everyone's always like, it's a full-time job being on the apps. So I got to swipe. And then I talk to someone for 3 weeks and I'm always like, do not talk to them for 3 weeks. Decide that you're going to meet them in 48 hours. And I like Jared's like, right. No, tonight or tomorrow night. But I love the idea of saying, if it doesn't deliver, you shouldn't be talking to someone for 3 weeks because you'd never get that time back either. So go back to the dating app tips then. What are some things that you wish that men and women knew about the dating apps when trying to attract the opposite gender, or really, I guess, any gender? And Jared, too, I want to circle back to what are the things in 20 minutes that you're asking? Like, I just want everyone to have more efficient dating right. So we can figure it out. What are your initial tips here?
I think the tips are, if you're going to talk about something, make it specific. I think no one wants to hear, how's your weekend? Because you don't know them. So it's like, I barely care about the weekends of the people that I do know. Focusing on something specific that they say in their profile, especially if you're a guy that's non-sexual. Jared and I talk about this a lot. It's like improv. If you're doing it right on the apps, just like if you were flirting in real life, you would be sort of like working off of something that they give you. So if they, you know, their prompt says something about liking a certain show, you ask them something specific about that. I think where people go wrong is they're very broad, and that's just not a way to show someone that you're actually paying attention. It seems like mindless, like he's saying, like you're just scrolling on
anyone. Also, to add to that, if your profile is all you statements, you better be a gentleman, you better like movies, you better like this. You statements get you nowhere. It's not vulnerable. I like the movie Wet Hot American Summer. Barbie. I like Barbie. I went to Barbie and Oppenheimer in a one-day showing. That's specific. And the more specific you are is more of like, it's more of a test. If a guy's like, hey, how was your weekend? When you have this like really specific prompt written, they've ignored the thing you wrote to talk about your looks. So that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you look beautiful is different than, hey, I saw Barbie and Oppenheimer 2 in the same day. What did you think? Which one did you go to first? The difference between those two responses to your profile are stark. Do you offer that opportunity? Or do you write, I like to travel? My question to that would be like, where's the last place you travel? That's interested, but that's as interested as I can be. You know, you haven't really given me a chance. You've taken no chance. If you said I went to Turks and Caicos and it was too expensive and I wish I had known a better island that was more cost effective. Okay. Now we're talking. To add on to that, you asked about a good conversation in 20 minutes. Here's my good conversations.
Yes,
I would say,
yes, thank you.
Okay, you go out for Chinese food. I want your soup, your appetizer, and your main. Go. We'll get to family and traumas on the date.
Speaking of writing what you're putting on your apps, I get so many requests from people who say, and I get it from men and women, and they say, I just want casual sex right now. I'm figuring out myself. I just don't want anything serious. I really don't. But how do I find someone who is like-minded? Do I write that on my app? Do I say I'm not looking for anything serious? Like, what is your take on that? And I'm wondering if you also think if someone says, I'm not looking for anything serious right now, do you think it really means like with you? Like, I guess that's more about if you're in a relationship right. or if you're dating, because they're like, oh, if someone comes along, maybe I will be. But let's go back to the casual sex part. Okay. Do you think we should be talking about like, I don't want anything serious right now?
I think there are ways to say that without saying it. Here's the thing. What we try to do on our show is make people a smarter consumer of the apps and a smarter consumer of the people that they're speaking to. And a lot of that is reading in between the lines. If you're looking for casual sex, I would do the things we just said not to do. I would comment on someone's looks. I would, that to me, like if I got on my profile, if someone was, you know, commenting on my body or the way I looked in a picture, I would assume that that person was looking for casual sex. If they were making the conversation completely non-sexual, I would assume at least they were trying to give me the impression that they're looking for something serious.
Yeah, I agree with Jordana. I think like those are good signs to know that someone's looking for sex. Here's the problem. And the problem is how men and women define casual sex. And the reason we define it differently is because there is way more to fear if you're a young woman or out there trying to have sex. You need to know that this person isn't going to murder you. And you're on a dating app and now your population is wider. It's a good start, right? No man has a fear of being murdered by the woman who wants to fuck him. It's just not a fear. It's the 20th thing on our mind, not the first. The guy looking for casual sex is looking for a different thing than the woman looking for casual sex. Based on the emails that we've gotten, the guy looking for casual sex will fuck you in an alley behind a dumpster. Doesn't care. Doesn't mind. Cool. The woman looking for casual sex generally is going, I just want to make sure we're on the same page and that we're like going to be a good combination and that he's a nice guy and that he'll go for dinner first, of course. And you're like, that is not casual sex to men. So I think what people have to admit to is being more specific about what they're looking for. You're looking for someone that you're comfortable having a night with and feeling trustworthy with and feeling safe with to have sex where there's no ask of more of your time. So I think when you're going on a dating app looking for casual sex, you have to admit that your definition of that is different than the men you're going to encounter, because a lot of women are going to be left unfulfilled by the type of men that are going to respond to that. Hey, you look hot. Oh, you look hot too. Meet you at the dumpster. They're going to go, no, I want the dinner. And then we'll dinner, do the dumpster once I get to know you a little bit.
Because that happens.
Right? And right. So I think like, you know, we all want a tough talk. We all want to say, yeah, we can do that too. We all want to say, yes, queen, I'm going to get mine. But it's like, let's admit to the fears we have. You know, let's admit that like you're not looking for casual sex in the way a man might be explaining it. You're looking for, hey, I'd like a little connection. I'd like to be respected and feel like I'm going out to drinks with someone. And I'm speaking specifically to a dating app scenario because I think that's something you can get to later. I think for a lot of people, you need to like make sure you hit it off on the app, hit it off in person, and then maybe you can get to that step. But I don't think it happens right away over the app. I just don't think you're going to be best served.
And here's the thing, though. Like, I think people need to be more okay with a date that doesn't end in happily ever after. Like, I think it's okay to, like, have that conversation on the date in, like, a fun way for both people. And then if you realize that that person is looking for something different than you, it doesn't have to be this devastating thing. If you're asking the right questions, you could leave with an interesting conversation and this person's looking for something more casual. We're not a match.
That's why the one day before thing is like such a great thing, because it's like, hey, I'm only going on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock to 7. Oh, caught a fish. We're going to go out Thursday. We're going to get a quick drink after I meet out with my friends. I want casual. They're looking for more.
It's funny. I think the dating apps will be much more satisfying doing them the way you're doing them, like 1 hour a week. It's like anything else, right? It's not meant to be binged. Like if you have McDonald's every day, all three meals for a week, you're going to feel disgusting. Kind of like the same with the dating apps. If you're on it too much, it's not how it's meant to be consumed. It's how it's meant to be consumed is like sort of additive and in moderation, I think, to make people feel really good about them.
This is a great philosophy, guys. I think you're going to help so many people be like, oh, I get to control it. I'm bidding for myself. Like, how do I actually want to date? And I think most people, they've got jobs, they've got lives. But if they just say, it's like your workout, I'm going to give it an hour a night even for swiping, or 3 hours a week, I'm going to swipe and that's it. Jared, you talk a lot of this in your special, which everyone needs to check out on Netflix, 37 and Single. You say that you're picky. You're like, yeah, I didn't like her name. And I get it with Seymour. I dumped her. I didn't want to go out with her. I don't like her name. And I don't like this. I don't like that. I think pickiness is another protective mechanism to keep ourselves from actually connecting people. In general, like, do you think we're too picky? Do you think that we are missing some great opportunities because we're making people jump through hoops that they don't need to? That maybe what we actually want isn't what we think?
I don't think picky is a negative thing. I think picky means you're happy with your life. I think it means you're enjoying your life, and you get pickier with age because you settle into the life that you want. You know, I'm 38 now. I live pretty well. Like, I'm not looking to go down from here. Yes, it closes you off to people, but that's your gut instinct.
I don't think of pickiness as good or bad, right? It's really just describing your personal tolerance for being alone and what you prefer. If you're someone who really likes to be with someone, who really likes to be in a relationship, then the pickier you are, the more you're sort of like stopping yourself from really being able to enjoy a relationship. If you're someone who's a little bit more like take it or leave it on a relationship, and I don't think the one is better than the other. I think it's about personal preference and what you personally want. Then yeah, be as picky as you want, because the alternative is that you're going to be single. And if that's something you're really enjoying, then who cares? But I do think, like, if you're looking to be in a relationship, there's compromises with everyone. And just like anyone that you meet is going to have to, like, no one is perfect. So everyone's going to have to compromise with you. You're going to have to compromise with people. But it's all totally okay to not want to compromise with anyone if you enjoy being single.
Yeah.
To be in a relationship, you have to, like, let go of a certain level of pickiness to an extent, right? Otherwise, no one would ever settle down with anyone. And so I think if you're talking to a person in a relationship and they're telling you you're too picky, they find your pickiness almost as like an affront on their decision to settle for someone, and to an extent. And I say settle like that's a bad thing, but it's actually like your decision that being in a relationship with this person is worth giving up all of their annoying habits, because everyone has annoying habits, including
like, it's them saying, what do you think? You're going to find perfect?
Of course.
You think you're going to find better than I found?
Right. You think you're better than me? Right. You think you're better than me? You think you're going to find the perfect person?
Yeah. Pickiness, I guess, is a spectrum, as we're saying. You don't want to be too extreme, but it's like on the spectrum. Like, are you too picky, or are you just picky enough? I want to talk about the ick factor for a second, because people love talking about the ick. You said, Jared, that you think that only women have the ick and men don't have the ick. Maybe explain the ick.
The way it was explained to me was like, you go out with someone, they do one thing, you never want to fuck them ever. You're just like, I'm out.
Like when you fell off the chair, maybe.
Right. When I fell off the chair, she probably looked at me and was like, that's enough for me. I'm done. I will never fuck, you know, Fallout Boy.
I've seen enough.
It's my belief based on, you know, the podcast that we do and hearing from, you know, women over the years, it's like, again, it goes back to the picky conversation. I think societally, and it's not really fair, if a woman complains about dating, they're told, just go out with them. Like, you know, they're not allowed to complain about dating unless they've given someone a chance. Men are never put in that position. We're never told to give them a chance. No, go on the date. You know, people go, you know, if you don't want to fuck them, they go, good, okay, don't go out with them. Like, women are put time after time in this position of like, if you want to be able to have this conversation about how horrible dating is, you have to go out with every guy I put you out with. So I think a lot of people are going out with people that they don't really want to go out with. They're talking themselves into, and then they're getting on the date and the guy wears cargo shorts and they go, ick, I can't do it. That's it.
When I think of the ick, which has happened to me a lot in my life, that I'm with someone, I'm actually maybe I'm dating them for a few months, we're sleeping together, things are good. And then something happens. I'm like, oh, like they touch me. And I'm like, oh, I can't actually have you touch me anymore. Ick.
To me, that's like, you weren't all there until that touch. No question of the relationship.
No, I don't remember. Yes. I mean, probably there was other things happening. And that was the touch that broke the camera's back.
Well, I think it's kind of like
the touch straw.
At like 3 months, let's say, like you really get to know who someone really is. And that's why I think so many things end at that point, because that's when you're kind of like, all right, I have a pretty good sense of like who you are and like what you're, and something about that either works for you or doesn't work. And oftentimes it's like, most people are not on the same page, which is why there's like a weirdness at that time. But I think there's probably things you were discovering about him that you were just maybe a little turned off by.
It was just a moment. Yeah.
The ick thing is always like these frivolous, funny things. That's why it's a funny conversation, because you go, oh, he sat crisscross applesauce. Like, oh my God. Like, you know, I can't believe that's the thing that made me not. And you concentrate on the frivolous thing, but it's like, it's really a mask to say, like, that's not really my person. Like, that there was, we aren't the match. And I think a lot of times people are put to give a reason to why it didn't work out with someone. And it's a lot easier to say, can you believe they touched my arm that way? As opposed to, I don't really have a good reason other than we're not a personality match. I couldn't see a future with them. Like, that feels more serious and mean.
Well, it's kind of like what you said. It feels like for women, there's a lot more pressure to just like date someone or like get over that. Like you said, men don't have that as much. So maybe it's just the way you're rationalizing doing that, because it doesn't feel like it's okay to just say, he's great on paper, but I just wasn't feeling it.
I know what I used to do is I was like, this one's this problem. My mom's like, okay, Emily, what's their fatal flaw? Like, I was always breaking up with people. She's like, what's their fatal flaw this time? And I was like, oh, well, this happened, that happened. And they always had fatal flaws. This is before I did a lot more work on myself. And I realized, like, we just weren't a match. Like you said, like, it doesn't even matter what they did or you did. It's never about those things that you think it is. Like, if they made more money or they had a different car or they sat differently. It's really that at the end of the day, it's not really fair to try to make someone else a villain, because we have to remember that we are 50% of whatever the relationship was.
Right.
We were bringing ourselves to the table. Don't swipe left. I'll be right back with Jared and Jordana to answer your dating and relationship questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out, so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, you guys, help me answer some emails from some of our people here, since
sure,
you guys are,
let's do it.
This is what you do. This is from Bambi. Not sure if it's her real name. She's 27. Hey, Dr. Emily, big fan of the podcast, loving the new book. Before starting your podcast, I thought I knew a lot about sex, and I'm realizing how much I don't know. I have a big crush on one of my best friends. We're both 27 in the same friend group. We've made out quite a bit, and it was super hot. So I know he's attracted to me. He's also not emotionally available for a relationship right now and takes a long time to feel ready to date someone. He's been super kind about the fact that I clearly like him and has said that he can see himself being with me in the future when he's ready. But recently, things have felt comparatively very platonic. I don't believe in the friend zone and that I value him a lot and would never stop being a friend just because he's not into me. That said, I do think we have the potential to be in a great relationship too, and I don't want to give up on that. Do you have any advice on how to nudge a friendship in a less platonic direction? Thanks. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can she do this? She's 27. She likes this guy. They've hooked up. And he's like, maybe in the future.
It seems like Bambi has already nudged this out of the friend zone. When you've gotten to the hookup place, I think that's pretty clear this that she's made herself known as being into it, right? I think the important thing to know is that they're not really friends. And I think that that's like kind of a hard thing to realize, because if there's like an underlying sexual tension, that's not a friendship. And it's never really going to go back to that. Jared, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. That's it's a great not a point. French. I totally agree. He also knows that what she said is true. They have to go from friends who have never fucked and just made out to serious relationship. There's no courting period because they already know what else is there to do. You guys get along as friends. Let's just add in the fun stuff. And now we're great. So he doesn't want to be in a serious relationship with her.
Yeah.
So he is trying to hold her off and hold her at bay. He also knows that they probably would be a pretty good relationship. And I think for her, she's never going to do this, but this would, the only way out is to like kind of break up with him. She has to end this and end the friendship, take some time off from it.
People always email in and they're like, oh, well, I don't want to ruin our friendship. Or friendship, like, you can't be friends. Right. If you are having feelings for them and emotions, then sexual feelings, you're not, you're not friends. You're not going to go back to friends. You're going to have this unrequited thing. And that's there. That's the elephant in the room. Like, deal with it. It's really hard once you hook up with somebody to go back and forth. You need like a distance, a break. And then maybe you'll be friends. Right. But not right away.
The whole friendship thing. What do they need to talk about? You know, like, are they missing out on football games together? Are they missing out on like carpooling? Like, I don't know. I think it's an excuse to not. He's dangling it because he doesn't want to be mean.
He's got like the carrot. Like,
right. He doesn't want to be the bad guy. And they probably have a larger friendship circle where he doesn't want it. But that's what I'm saying in terms of like what we do, which is like helping people read between the lines. Like you said, like when someone says I am not ready for a relationship, it means I don't want to have a relationship with you. I mean, it seems like harsh, but it almost like, I think that knowing how to interpret those things actually helps you move on and create the distance, because instead of almost like believing that and saying, well, I'll hang around as his friend and then one day he'll turn around and he'll realize he loves me. That doesn't actually help you.
No. But I love your advice. I love that it's like read between the lines, all the information's there that you need. Don't wait around for people to change and just like move on. Go get what you want. Because people spend a lot of time in relationships that are just hoping and analyzing and what does this mean and what does a text mean? And like it probably means what it means. He's probably just not into this with you right now, or she's not.
Exactly. Like a no is a no, a maybe is a no, a one day in the future is a no. Everything besides a like, yes, I'm in is a no.
She's asking for yes, I'm in. And she's not getting what she's asking for. And then she's making, oh, well, you know, should I wait around for the yes I'm in? No.
Should I nudge it? Yeah. She's like, can I nudge it into a less platonic direction? No. Like you've already tried. You've been there. No, I would say no. And I would say find new friends and new relationships, because if she hangs on to him as a friend, she's going to get in the way of her other meeting other people. What do you guys think about though, keeping your exes around? Do you think that can work or not work? You guys friends with exes?
No, but no. I think it's just going to, it's going to be so out there that it's been said. The words have to be said.
Yeah. There's got to be a reason for the pleasant relationship. Like maybe you have kids together or there's something else there. Otherwise, it's like, I'm not friends with any exes. I would say that.
Yeah. See, I am. I'm friends with, this is the thing, we have this debate here, but I'm friends with all my exes, but not right away. Like we took time off. We took a year off. Many of my exes are like, I remember having parties. There was like four exes there.
How close are you?
But it wasn't a way close. Like some of them I'm close with, like had a party and like there was three of them here, but you know, over the last like 10-15 years, we weren't close right away. There was times it was hard breakup, but then we genuinely liked each other. There wasn't a lot of drama. And so we like, I mean, there's for sure there are some exes that I'm not friends with that maybe you're listening. You're like, we're not friends. I hate
Would they
you,
be at your wedding?
Some of them I am. Maybe. Yeah. If I had a wedding, a few of them, I'm like, I was at their weddings.
Is there a little bit of a feeling around being friendships with the ex where it's like, I found you attractive enough to date. And I liked your personality enough to date. I like your personality enough to be your friend. Like, why wouldn't you be continuing to date?
I think that's what it is. That's exactly, we had history together. We really genuinely liked each other. I'm such a like communicator, talker. We knew each other. I knew their families. And yeah, it just didn't work for whatever reason, circumstances, or we weren't in the same place. You know, that's a lot of it too, is that if I didn't want a relationship and they did, or whatever was happening in our lives, it just didn't work. And at the time, a lot of them, when I look, think at them, they were kind of messy and it hurt. And we're like stalking their Instagram, like, oh, who's the new people who like them this week? Are their new friends? And all that.
That's what
but
I
now,
do.
Like 5 years later, I'm like, bring your girlfriend over. Like, we're all friends. Lindsay's 26 in California. Dr. Emily, I've been dating a guy for a little over a month. He's 37. I'm 26. Recently, after one of our dates, we went back to his house. We started making out, top started to come off, and I told him I wanted to have sex with him. He literally looked at me and kind of chuckled and said, yeah. So I asked him, would you be okay with having sex? He again looked at me and said, I don't have a condom. Then I asked, well, if you did, would you? He again looked at me and said, yeah. I'm just so confused when we're together. We have an amazing time. I don't know if it's the age difference or what that makes that are amazing. However, when it comes to sex, he's awkward. Please help. I'm so lost.
Have they had sex at all or?
Sounds like no.
They've had no sex. Yeah. I thought maybe he's gay or in a relationship.
I think to me, it's good. If there's anything I've learned from Jared, it's that like men are not as dumb as we think. And that he probably knows
thanks,
that
Jared.
Is that I think what he probably knows is that by having sex, he might be like leading her to believe that he's looking for something more serious than perhaps she is. And to me, that's another reason that men withhold from having. I think there's this notion among women that like men will always want to have sex with you, or men like that's all, you know, it's all they're not thinking about the next day, or if they find you attractive, they want to have sex with you all the time. And I don't think that that's really true. I think that men are, especially an older man who's in his later 30s, is going to know what having sex means. And maybe he doesn't want to go there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Jordana.
But I think you're right that when you get older, you're like, okay, so she sleeps over. This is what it means in the morning. Some of that, it's that, and then she's going to call me and I'm not in the mood. Right. And he walks ahead and goes, it's not worth it. I'll just jack off or have her go
home. And then I don't have to hear, I don't have to hear, but you slept with me and now, you know, you're not looking for anything serious, which I think at 37, a man has heard enough times to know that that's not something he wants to do, which is nice in a way.
Josie's 22. Hey, Dr. Emily, my long distance boyfriend and I broke up about 2 months ago. The main reason because he was not okay with me hanging out alone with my guy friends. He's also mad when I told him about a few harmless dreams. One involving a guy kissing me. Another one was me dating a guy from my middle school. He also picked a fight about me shaving my bikini line for going out one night with guy friends and for a few jokes I made either at his expense or we had sexual connotations. All of these things I find dramatic, but he insists that I should be able to see how they would hurt him. I've been described as a guy's girl a lot and my male friendships are completely platonic. When I tell him this, he says, I'm not worried about you, I'm worried about them. I've tried to reassure him that it's my choice if I betray a relationship, but he gets angry because there's no clear boundaries. In his eyes, having a pregame with my three guy friends at my apartment alone is unacceptable, but he's working on getting more comfortable. So no surprise, we're back together. It's been 3 weeks and we keep fighting. The main thing that keeps coming up is I don't want to talk about sex constantly. There are times when it feels like we just use sex when there was nothing to talk about, but it gets difficult when he sexts me during the day and I'm not in the mood. He keeps asking, are you horny? Are you still into me? And then she gets to this. Most of my friends say he's toxic and I shouldn't put up with it. I'm extremely torn, not sure what to do. On the one hand, I want this to work. On the other hand, I'm scared. It's a lost cause and I'm just hurting myself more. So this one brought up a lot. I think first off, she's kind of baiting him by being like, I had a dream kissing another guy. Like most guys would get jealous about that, talking about her bikini line and all that. But then she says her friends think he's toxic. So I'm just wondering what you think about all this information. Should we listen to our friends? Do you think this is clearly toxic? They're not going to work. They're young. What's your take on this?
And they're long distance.
Long distance.
They should break up. This is stupid. Because here's what's going on. I'm not here to blame her. I'm happy she emailed in. She's looking for help. But like, her friends are getting her side of the story, okay? It's not even that she's hanging out with like other guys, who cares? It's that she's like making jokes at his expense and then he's sexting and then asking, are you still into me? So the sexting he's doing is to like get her to check a box that she's still into him. So like there's no trust here. He's too self-conscious to be in a relationship. He needs to work on his confidence. And I don't think that she's really helping with his confidence by telling him about the dreams and everything. So this is a bad match. And the distance takes a really confident person to be in a long distance relationship and to be able to like let go of someone and be ready to have them when they're back and you're in the same area. So this isn't, and she has to wonder with all these problems, and they've broken up and now gotten back together. I can only speak to her, but like, what keeps you in this? What makes you think that this is the only thing for you? That there's nothing better that's going to be more fun? And, you know, maybe she kind of like likes the up and down nature to this whole thing, which is fine, but just admit to that.
I think there's like a gameiness to this email, which reads immature to me. Which reads like, you know, younger relationship. And I think, you know, that could be fun. That's exciting. A toxic relationship is quite fun. actually, I think, if you're into it.
That's why we keep going back
exactly.
to them. That's why we love
it's,
them.
It's, yeah. It sounds like it's really fun and then it's really bad. And that's like, if it's, you know, if that's what she's looking for, because she is, you know, she is 22, that's okay. Sometimes you need to have some of those to get them out of your system. So, but I totally agree.
It's drama. And what do you guys think real about friendships when your friends are like, dump him? I think, Jared, you made a good point that like they're only hearing our side of it. I mean, now as I've gotten older, I'm like, what's his side? But what do you guys think about your friends like him or don't like him? Take it with a grain of salt or like listen to him?
Well, here's what I'll say. In this scenario, she should dump him. So they're right. Whether, you know, so like.
But they're saying he's toxic.
Whether they're always right.
You know, just know your friends are talking about the relationship. Not
they're both
him.
Toxic.
This is toxic is probably what they mean more than he is toxic. You know, you should listen to your friends because I don't want to get into this like don't listen to your friends. They're telling you something. They're telling you something's off. That's hard enough. They're being as truthful as they can be with you while still continuing your friendship. They can't look at you and be like, hey, you're a gaming asshole to this guy and this whole thing is toxic. They're more likely to say, he's toxic, get away from him. Because I just don't want to like mix up like, because sometimes your friends are like, this is dangerous. Like that's a different story, but they're saying something. You got to listen. Yeah. People don't want to like be uncomfortable with their friends. So to even say anything at all means they think something.
The way that she's describing him is telling, even if it's not the most accurate, that you could still make an assessment based on that.
I just hear drama. It's true. It's a lot of drama here. And I also learned as I go through life, now I stop and think, which friend should I ask for advice on this? Like, I just know that they don't have a great perspective on dating or on relationships or on whatever it is. So then you start to look at your friends. I used to just have the one friend that I called or the two. And I'm like, oh, she would have a good perspective. She would be fair and even. Not necessarily the friends are going to tell me what I want to hear, but the friends are going to tell me what like I should hear. But I think that takes time and maturity and
that's
life.
A great point.
Living the life.
Yeah. I think like not all friends are created equal. So choose the people whose advice you take wisely.
Choose wisely. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you guys the five quickie questions we ask all of our guests. So we'll just go back and forth, but just don't overthink it. Just first thing that comes to your mind. Ready? Biggest turn on.
Knowing what you want.
Wit.
Biggest turn off.
Unawareness.
Bragginess. Is that a word? Bragginess.
Yeah.
Bravado.
What makes good sex?
Communication.
Mystery.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships?
Communicate more.
Own what you want.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
Just because the sex is good does not mean the relationship is good.
Talking is good. Don't just assume.
Okay. I love it. Thank you both. Jordana, Jared, thank you for being here. Tell us where people can find you, what you have going on, all the things.
Thank you so much for having us. Well, we have the You Up podcast out every Wednesday, Tuesday for subscribers and Sundays. Find us at you.up.podcast at Jordana Abraham on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm at Jared Freed, but check out the You Up podcast. It's on YouTube. It's on all that good stuff. It's fun. Honest talk about dating. Yeah, and the special on Netflix, 37 and Single. It's out there. You can watch it. Great with a significant other. Good way to get talking and having like a nice date night.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being here. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.